Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Starseed Gems, and they can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. They are also the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, and that's mediums behind the scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention in Fort Myers, Florida, November 9th through 11th. This year, 2018. Our guest tonight is Admir Serrano, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. You can also spend some time learning directly from our guest if you attend the Mediums Behind the Scenes Mediumship Convention in November, because Admir Serrano will be teaching classes there and lecturing during the weekend. So, Bob, any words of wisdom or deep thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we have our own mystery that's going on here, and you know, maybe some of our listeners could shed some light on it, because we're kind of scratching our heads. But we talk about signs all the time, and I know that birds often play a role. Certain types of birds are known for appear at, you know, at certain times, but
usually cardinal.
We've got a situation going on with hawks, which is pretty unusual. I don't, you could tell it better than me, but maybe you won't care to tell us what's been going on over the past three, four days.
It's going on at our home, and we've lived in this home for 22 years and have never ever experienced anything like this. So on day one, there was what appeared to be a wounded animal that I later determined was a bird, a hawk, that was laying in the hot sun on the hot patio, kind of not really moving around, and I started to get concerned, but I was on the phone with somebody. When I got off the phone, I decided to observe and see if the bird was okay, and the bird would occasionally stretch out its back legs, but it never really moved from where it was. And I had put out an alert to some of the neighbors who might know more about birds and might be able to run over and help me out. But in the meantime, I noticed a second hawk had now landed in the backyard and was kind of maneuvering its way gingerly closer and closer to what I assumed was an injured hawk. And I started to get nervous that there would be some sort of an altercation. So I decided I would venture out there and be ready to protect the injured bird. And as soon as I stepped outside, the injured bird took flight, went up into the trees, and the other bird also left. That was day one. On day two, about the same time of day, two hawks appear in the yard, this time not in the same location. They're in the shaded garden area around our gazebo, and they're playing like a game of tag, the two of them running around all over this garden area. And again, I was on the phone, and by the time I got off the phone, it was a rather lengthy call, it was about 40 minutes, the birds were no longer there. That was day two. Today was day three, and I was in the breakfast room and decided to glance across, for some reason, all the way to... The breakfast room is in the back of the house. I glanced across to the kitchen window, which is in the front of the house. And as I did that, a hawk flew straight into the window, breaking the glass, and then did not fall down or anything, turned around and flew away. So I have this series of 3 days so far where hawks are trying to get my attention.
Right. Now we just have to figure out for what reason.
I can tell you that on the third visit today, I had a deep feeling with the hawk that it was somehow linked to my father, which oddly enough, never, ever, ever visits me from the other side. But on Saturday, he did, and he gave me a message. So I'm trying to recall what exactly the message was, and maybe it fits into this scenario of events.
Yeah, interesting. I was trying to do a little research on the internet to see if symbolism with hawks, and there's a theory that a spiritual concept, I guess, that hawks are messengers, of some sort to draw your attention to certain either life events or to make you be introspective and work your way through issues. So I guess we have to keep our guard up, right, and see what's happening.
Bring your guard down.
Yeah. Well, the question is, we'll be traveling next week. Do you think that the hawks will follow us? You know,
that would be great. Yeah.
So I was reading, and by the way, this is exciting because you filled me in on this, that you negotiated a really sweet deal as a not-for-profit, and on a date in August, we're going to have three billboards in Times Square in New York. They're going to be putting up Forever Family Foundation slogans, and ads and so forth. So I know we've been busy trying to come up with things that'll draw the most attention, but that's pretty cool.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah, so we'll have to watch for that. I was reading an article today, again, on terminal lucidity, and it's just, every time I read these accounts, it's just amazing. Now, we've experienced it, firsthand, terminal lucidity being people that are close to physical death for some unknown reason that's not explained by medical science, have this period of alertness and mental acuity where you would never know that they were ill, and it leads the loved ones to believe that a miracle occurred, and we saw that, with your mom. And it's something that it doesn't get researched too much, but it is quite amazing. The thing that intrigues me so much is that, a certain phenomena like near-death experiences, people try to explain it away. They'll say it's oxygen deprivation and so forth. But in these periods, there are people that are that have Alzheimer's or their brains are not working. They're mentally impaired. Some are physically impaired, beyond, hope. And there is no medical explanation that anybody could possibly come up with, and I don't know why it continues to be ignored.
Because we're looking for a medical explanation, and therein is where the problem lies. Medicine has always tried to explain things according to a physical world. And this is a situation where people who have observed it clearly can see that it's a spiritual experience that they're having. And some people who are in the room with them when they're having them have reported experiencing it along with them. So it's not, you can't say it's hallucinations. You can't say it's the effect of a dying brain. You can't blame it on anything if you've got a person who is well, who's experiencing it along with the person who's preparing.
In deathbed visions, there has been some research. In terminal lucidity, very little. And, you know, it's not that the medical establishment is trying to explain it. They just choose to ignore it, you know, because there is no, you know, possible.
Yeah, but, you know, there's never going to be a medical explanation.
Or our guest in a few minutes, Admir Serrano, might have some thoughts on that. He's an afterlife researcher. So we're going to go to our break. I know we're anxious to bring Admir on, so stay with us. Be back in a couple of minutes with Admir Serrano.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Our guest this evening is Admir Serrano. Our sponsor tonight is Starseed Gems, and they are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention, Mediums Behind the Scenes, the second biennial Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention in Fort Myers, Florida. And Starseed Gems can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. Bob?
And Admir Serrano is a believer in the immortality of the human spirit. He's a longtime researcher, a writer, a lecturer on paranormal phenomena. He talks about things such as out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communications, reincarnation, mediumship, and the afterlife in general. His interest in these topics began when he started having personal, spontaneous out-of-body experiences and then wanted to understand the phenomenon. He has worked as a hospice volunteer, providing spiritual support to terminally ill patients. And while he was doing that, he could witness firsthand the deathbed vision phenomenon. He's the author of The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife, and Out and About, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experiences. Welcome, Admir. It's good to talk to you again.
Hi, Bob. Thank you very much. Nice to be in your program and talk about this exciting topic that all of us, without exception, are going to go through this too. And it's great that we understand a little bit what's on the other side, so that when we get there, we're better prepared.
Yeah, I wanted to. We'll get into it in a little bit about, mediumship. But in your intro, I mentioned all these different phenomena that suggest, life after physical death. This may be a tough question, but, after all your research, have you reached any conclusions as to which discipline of study is the most convincing to you, both most convincing of life after physical death?
Well, there are two of them. And that's the two that I think there's been extensive research, and one of them is near-death experience, and especially the ones that, when the person going through an experience when returns gives information that are verified, and there would be no other way for the person to know. Unless what he or she saw was truly what they were saying, and that's one of them. And the other one is reincarnation research, especially the work of Ian Stevenson and now James Tucker at the University of Virginia for over 40 or 50 years now. So I think those two are the major scientific research that points towards that reality.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people come to believe in an afterlife based on a conglomerate of the evidence. So it's easy to explain away, or it's not so easy, but people try to explain one specific discipline of research away using material explanations. But when you take the body of evidence as a whole, the afterlife is, it just makes sense,
That's right, yeah.
Well, we talk today, many of our listeners are familiar with mental mediumship, but some are, I'm sure, are not aware that mediumship has a rich history around the world. So, do you think that people were practicing mediumship in ancient times? Of course, they didn't call it mediumship. It was just what they did.
Yeah, we understand mediumship, especially in spiritism, that we study the phenomenon. And the medium is the medium. It's the intermediary between the two worlds. So a person who is a medium, or has this more pronounced ability, because we all do somehow, some people to more extent than others. We are all mediums, so which means that we are intermediary in both worlds, because we are, the first thing to understand is that we are spirits. You know, the difference from us to the spirits to who communicate through a medium is that we have a physical body and they don't. So we are immersed in this spiritual world. You know, it's not something that the spirit world is not something that's out there. It's all around us. So we are immersed in it. So we are in contact with the spirits every moment, you know, every moment of our life, being awake or sleeping, we are in contact with spirits of beings who are no longer in physical life. And in the olden days, in ancient times, there was. And we could tell, like shamans, for instance, they had, you know, that thousands of years ago, you know, even before recorded history. We could assume, because the evidence that we saw, that there is this already this communication. And shamanism would be probably the most ancient. And when shamans or people were more advanced spiritually within that, those ancient communities would have the ability either focus their consciousness, or some of them using hallucinogen to get in touch with the spirit world and the spirit, and then bring information on the other side. It's always been there, but now, and then, you know, after the event or the advent of spiritualism or modern spiritualism in the 19th century, and you know, they gained more notoriety or gained more popularity because it was something that was more evident and it was all around and spread throughout the world. But it's always been there.
Mm. Now, you mentioned spiritism, and of course, people may be familiar with spiritualism, maybe or maybe not, but tell us a little bit about spiritism, I mean, and how that might differ, or does it differ from spiritualism?
Spiritism was started in France in 1857. Actually, it was before, but it was officially started in April 1857. It was like a religion or a philosophy, whatever you call it. And it's a set of teachings that were channeled through several mediums, mostly in France, and they gave information, huge information on all topics. And the book that I'm a spiritist, that we use, which is the backbone of our studies or religion, is called The Spirit Book. And it's amazing information that is there that mediums brought that information, mostly answering questions that Allan Kardec, his compiler of the teachings, the spiritist teachings in five books. And it's amazing when you read it, you see what in science today, out of body experience, near death experience, reincarnation. You see all these studies, current studies, found out. It was already told by the spirits answering Kardec's question about those topics. It's amazing when you read it. And that was one of the things that amazed me the most, because I had, before I studied or found out about spiritism, I was already researching paranormal experiences, like reincarnation, the ones that you mentioned, reincarnation, deathbed vision, near-death experience, out-of-body experiences. And I was amazed when I read that book that was written in 1857, published in 1857, and how it coincided. So it must be, I thought it's amazing because, you know, it was something that spirits were telling us or giving us that information that science has been verifying, especially starting last century.
So the spiritists, you know, believe in scientific research. I mean, it's part of the movement, right?
Oh yeah, there are three. There are like three. We understand spiritism in three aspects: scientific, religious, and philosophical. So there we learn, you know, moral philosophy, you know, how to improve yourself, the necessity to for you to improve yourself, to become better, because we as a spirit, so we are Christians first. Spiritists, all spiritists are Christian because we follow the teachings of Christ. And we understand through what spiritism teaches us, and the same thing that Jesus teaches us, is that the necessity for us to improve, to become better morally, intellectually, spiritually, how to improve ourselves. So, and that is the like the philosophical base. And then the religiosity, which is connection with God, connection with this higher power, and then scientific. So I prove, you know, to make sure that what you are following has a basis on science, so that we have this objective testimony that what you're doing is not something like, you know, smoke. It's something that is real. So those are, and it's very important. The scientific aspect of the spiritist doctrine is very, very important.
Yeah. Now, one of the foundations that you touched on, it, you know, of spiritism is that we all reincarnate. So I find that the mediumship world, the modern mediumship world, is somewhat split on this issue. I mean, is there no choice when it comes to reincarnation? In other words, do you believe that everybody reincarnates, or only those who have a need to or have a desire to?
We in Spiritism, we understand that everybody, including animals and reincarnate, not necessarily on Earth, not necessarily right away, not necessarily, you know, but you, the what we understand is that the spirit, after we disincarnate, because we understand that the life on Earth is it's an opportunity for the spirit to improve faster, or if he applies, or he or she applies themselves into becoming better. So it's like it's a school that we have an opportunity of advance faster if we come down here on Earth.
Okay.
So we, the spirit decides, and the spirit after, you know, when we are on the other side. This is what we understand, and this is something that's very interesting that near-death experience shows us, the life review. So when we disincarnate, we are going to review our lives and see what we still need to do to improve. And then based on that, we want to get better, we want to improve, and then we might decide to come here again just to, you know, fix those points that we need to fix.
So when people that have near-death experiences, one of the commonalities there for is that people talk about being told that it's not their time and that they must return to the physical. Of course, that means that for those that don't come back, those who aren't able to be resuscitated, you know, was it their time to go?
Yes, definitely, definitely. Their time. So, and those people having a near-death experience, that's something that some people ask me often. Why doesn't everybody have a near-death experience? The naysayers, that's the main thing that they use to discredit the experience. Because the person who goes through a near-death experience, that was part of her lesson. And their lesson is fantastic. As they come, and they understand, and that's one thing that is very, that's amazing. And we see the same thing, like the life review and stuff, and people who are about to die, this thing of looking to your lives and see how you have lived your life, and things that you've done wrong, and that you should do, you should improve. This life review starts for people who are near to, for people who are, for terminal ill patients, and I witnessed that time and time again, that necessity of changing. So in near-death experience, when the person goes on the other side and reviews their lives and they see what they've done wrong, they have the opportunity to come back and fix. And most of them come changed, and most of them fix, if not everything, at least something. And but when we so they need to return, and that's their all, you know, they return because it's not their time yet, but they needed that experience. And it's an experience that we see, especially now that, you know, in the media, they publish books and they're bestsellers. That's good because they're telling us. They are the messengers of the other side coming down here, coming back and telling us about the reality of the afterlife. So that's something that's very, very important. They're like messengers. Now, when we pass on the other side, then it is our time. We're going to review our lives. We're going to do the same thing, but we cannot come back and in that body, because that body has died. So we then learn, we could learn on the other side, and we can also come back and do it again another time around in another body, reincarnating. So those are the two things.
Mm. You know, a lot of the mediums today, you know, call themselves spiritual mediums. Not all, some do. So, which raises the question: is if what mediums do, is that considered to be a spiritual endeavor, or is it, or are they simply using senses that remain hidden to many, but they have you know, sort of heightened you know, senses in that regard? I guess what I'm trying to drive at is. Is it? Are we wrong to classify it as being spiritual, or is it just the way it is?
Well, I think it's a question of words that we use, because we don't have a better word. Like spirit is breath in Latin, right? Spiritus, breath. So it's something that survives. So we call it spirits beings who are no longer in the physical body. So they call it a spiritual medium because they have the ability to communicate with disincarnated spirits. So they call it spiritual medium. I think it's just a, you know, it's just a word that we use to define something. But
right.
You know, but to say that they're more like a spiritual medium is a highly because we are always spirits, as I said. But it's not because someone has this ability of communicating with the spirit world that this person here is still incarnated. This medium is a highly advanced spirit, because many times they're not, even if they have this special ability.
Right. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
The what about, I know that you mentioned the Shakers. I mean, the Shakers preceded the modern medium movement. Most people have never even heard of the Shakers. So can you give us a brief synopsis of their involvement in mediumship?
Yeah, my you know, studying the history of spiritualism and spiritual communication. And then when you trace the spiritualist movement that started in 1848 in there in upstate New York, in Hydesville, with the phenomenon of the Fox Sisters, the knockings and the rappings there. And then after 1848, May 1848, then the spiritual communication started, or spirits, and they're a very noisy spirit all over the world, you know, knocking on doors, moving tables, moving everything. It was a very ruckus time. But that was something that was very noisy, the spirit communication at that time in the 1850s. Including, you know, politicians who were involved, there were seances in the White House where Abraham Lincoln and his wife participated. So there was a movement that was very, very important for the spread of spiritualism in the United States, and then went to another countries. It was all over the world. It was in New Zealand, in Australia, in the islands of the Indian Ocean. It was everywhere. and then ended up in Europe, and then France. That's where Spiritism started. But for that movement, for those spirits to communicate and incorporate, when you trace it back before 1848, and that was started in 1760, it was with the Shakers that moved from England, especially from Manchester, and they settled in New York. I forgot the name of the county, but mostly in upstate New York. So, and they were there from the late 1700s, and then that would be for another 50 years. And the Shakers their village, and they're very pure, the Shakers. They're very morally pure. They're Christians. And they had sciences. They have almost every night in their community, they had this trance where they, most of the Shakers were mediums, and they received the spirits. So, and also during those spirit manifestation, they was very intense spiritual manifestation. They would invite the neighbors, people around, and they were also healing, magnetic healing during those seances, during those. Also during those manifestations, people who were in the audience would also receive, I'm going to use the term receive, spirits. And these people became mediums. So after 1848, most of the, in that area, especially in that area, so there was already a very great number of mediums that would serve the purpose of being the intermediary between the two worlds for the spread of American modern spiritualism. Okay. It was amazing when you trace it back, how it started. Yeah.
Absolutely. We are talking with Admir Serrano, his books, The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife, and Out and About, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experiences. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about your work in hospice and observations of these deathbed visions. So stay with us. We'll be back with Admir in a few minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
We have been talking to Admir Serrano, who will be a guest presenter at our November Mediumship Convention. Our sponsor for tonight's show is Starseed Gems, and they are the proud sponsors of Forever Family Foundation's November Mediumship Convention. And Starseed Gems can be found on the web at starseedgems.com. We want to remind our listeners always to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. Coming up for free next month on August 11th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, that's 11 to noon Pacific, our online group meets Visionary Explorers Group. As of today, only one spot remains open at our annual summer group retreat in Chester, Connecticut. That's coming up soon on August 17th through 19th. It's a complete weekend working with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums and experienced facilitators. It is deliberately kept small and designed to transform your grief. The accommodations are private. There is no sharing of toilets down the hall and sleeping in dormitory bunk beds. The food has been described as locally grown fabulous, and all the details for the weekend and registration links are on our website. Don't miss out on that very last spot. Our next webinar is The Extraordinary Powers and Life of Alex Tennis, presented by none other than Dr. Cal Cooper on September 26th at 9 p.m. Eastern, complete with questions and answers. All details and registration procedures are on the events page on our website. Our biennial weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, that I've been talking about, is this coming November 9th through 11th, Mediums Behind the Scenes. Imagine spending a weekend with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have a lot of fun things planned for the weekend, and unlike those pick-and-choose conventions out there, our unusual simple pricing includes both Friday night and Saturday night banquets, complete with entertainment and spirit communication. And following November comes December, particularly December 23rd, when we will draw five winners who will each receive a reading with the Forever Family Foundation medium in our annual Holidays Past Raffle. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. Back to you, Bob.
And we're back with Admir Serrano. Admir, I know you mentioned that you did volunteer in a hospice. You were providing spiritual support to terminally ill patients. If I asked you, can you give me a rough percentage of the people in hospice that you would say had a deathbed vision before they passed?
Most, if not all, that are conscious. Because in terminally ill, not all patients are conscious before they die. But those who are conscious, they do. And the deathbed vision, it's interesting because it could happen. like 2 months or a month or a week or days or hours before the person is about to pass over. So, and most of them, my interviews that I do with people, not only that, but everybody who, when I go to shows and I talk about it, they all say, you know, that happened to my dad or that happened to my mom. They said that. They said it's a great percentage. And it's amazing. And so why do that happen, right? So, and in my experience, also working in a hospital with those people, many of them who before didn't believe in the afterlife, they end up believing in the afterlife prior to their passing. It's that says something that is a paradox, right? You don't believe in the afterlife, but you're going to believe it when you were about to pass off, because there are this phenomena that happened, and something, you know, within themselves during that time when they are preparing to move to the next, to the other reality, then something happens that they change and they become a believer. So it's interesting that some people tell me that, you know, I don't believe in any of this. I think, you know, you're just dreaming, but I don't believe there's nothing afterwards. Then I tell them, well, you're going to find out prior to.
Yeah, I guess if you live your life not believing in life after death, and then all of a sudden you see your deceased relatives, you become a believer real quick, right?
Yes.
Well, right. You know, before the at the top of the show, before you came on, Fran and I were discussing terminal lucidity a bit, I'm sure that you've witnessed that as well. You know, that this period of time, a short window where people that are physically and mentally impaired suddenly have these periods of complete alertness and mental acuity. And there's no medical explanation for it, you know.
Yeah, that's something amazing too. Yes, and in the cases of when where the person up to that moment has dementia or diagnosed as having dementia, Alzheimer's, where they don't know what's going on, that the brain is the memories are all impaired, brain is impaired. No memory there, and even in case of the person being comatose or being unconscious before in comatose, and then there is that moment, that window, like you're saying, and when they're completely lucid. Before, I have had a case of that where the patient was telling me, not the patient, or the relative of the patient, and said my dad didn't, you know, he had Alzheimer's. And he didn't know me. He didn't know anybody. And then right prior to passing, it was this moment of lucidity. They addressed the person by name. They knew. And also they took that opportunity to thank the person, say, I love you, and say goodbye. It's amazing. There's no medical explanation. No medical explanation.
No. And so if we eliminate the medical explanation, the only thing left is a spiritual explanation.
That is correct.
Yeah. Maybe it's one last chance to make peace or tell your loved ones that you love them.
So that's right. And also to teach us who do research or people who are around to notice that reality. I'm pretty sure that these occurrences and people who are the actors in that in this parts, they're the messengers. You know, they're telling us like the near death experience, the deathbed vision, or these people terminal lucidity. They're it's like they're not telling. They're like screaming, yelling. Listen, you know, there's more to it. You know. We are here. This is it. We're, you know, look at the sign that we're giving you.
Yeah. You know, there's one of the the people that at the University of Virginia, Michael Grosso, wrote an interesting article, and we've talked to him about it. And he believes that the near-death experience phenomenon that's really becoming more and more, prevalent is sort of like a global awakening. You know, it's an evolution of consciousness, and it's purposeful, and perhaps it's not only because our resuscitative techniques have improved, but that it's part of a design as we come to greater awareness of life beyond death. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. And you see this new generation, how much easier they believe in the afterlife, they believe in reincarnation and things like that. So it is this awareness. And then the near-death experience, for instance, it's a moment that the body is very debilitated. And so the mind or the consciousness is freer to go over to other realities or transcend the physical reality and get a glimpse of the other side with all everything that is in there.
Now, I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I wanted to touch on one of your books is about, out-of-body experiences, which is, often a component in the near-death experience. And you had your own spontaneous out-of-body experience. And you believe that this is something that we can train ourselves to do, right?
Yeah, you can. You have to be persistent and willing. There are exercises and things like that. But we all have out of body experiences because especially when the body is in relaxing or during sleep, we see a near-death experience when the body is almost dead. So us, or the reality that we are, the spirit, the free spirit that we are able to then withdraw from the physical body. So, and the moment that is all of us have every night to do that is during sleep. So out-of-body experiences during sleep is very, very often. And so, if you train yourself, also you can notice during the night when you are out of your body. So, and in this book, I give like some signs, and I say that because I am my own researcher also. So I pay attention to those details. Those details, I gain lucidity when I'm out of body. For instance, flying dreams is one of them. Falling dreams is another one. That state that you have, that vibrational state that all of a sudden at night you feel your body vibrating. So there are signs that we notice that we are either getting out of our body, we're out of our body, or we are returning to those bodies, so to our body. So I mentioned in that book these situations that we can use during the night with some training to notice when we're out of body. And many times we are helped to be out. We're taught lessons. We are taken out to do work, healing work, learning. So we are always in connection with the other side, and especially when we are sleeping, dreams are, when you dream with a diseased loved one, we understand in the spiritism then the situation. We are not really dreaming. We are out of our body, and we are indeed in communication with those. And I have some fantastic experiences myself with spirit communication during sleep state.
Yeah, and undoubtedly, when you were able to go out of body, that propelled you to learn more and more and more. And we have been talking with Admir Serrano. Again, the two books, The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife, and Out and About, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experiences. And Admir will be talking more about these things at the Medium Convention in November. Admir, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we very much look forward to seeing you in November.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you very much, friend. Thank you very much, and all your listeners. Have a blessed evening to everybody, and do not be afraid of death, because it doesn't exist. And also, do not cry too much for your loved ones who passed away, because they're, in most cases, much happier than we are, and they're in good hands, too.
Thank you. Take care. Have
my
a good
pleasure.
Evening.
Now, I ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Joanne Gerber, Diane Archangel, and Marianne Pieryshka. Now, let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone and our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.